Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Okay, welcome back to Brad Golf. It is the 29th of July and I'm joined again by Nigel Cosgrave from trickydogleg.com. Nigel's back for Nigel's picks. And Nigel, welcome. How are you getting on?
Dermot, how are you? Keeping well?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. A lot of golf of late, which is great. I think I did 8 consecutive days there, so I'm pretty happy to be out in the golf course and playing golf. What about yourself?
Was away in Donegal on the weekend, so I got a quick 9 holes in with yourself last night. But no, I've actually only played once or twice in the last week or so.
Yeah, nice and fresh. You were very fresh last night, aren't you? Like, for a man who didn't score, you were playing well.
I was hitting the ball well, yeah, but
putting, I left a lot of shots out there on the greens, which isn't like me, really.
And you were only a couple over. But not that I'm worried. Not that I'm worried. And I warned that later as to why I might be worried. So if we can go back to then to recap on the 3M. So last weekend, from your picks, Max Homa brought in the money and kind of covered the cost of the bets for the week, I think.
It wasn't a full each-way place. It was only a partial each-way place. I think it was 3/4 or
maybe 2/3 of what it, because he finished tied third, but there was 9 players, I think,
in third position. So that diluted the pot, really.
Absolutely. Don Lohagan, who's a follower of the pod, he sent in a tweet saying if only the lad could putt, he could have got us some more.
Oh, yeah. He struck the ball beautifully. Like, I mean, he hit 2 lovely irons into 14 and 17 to left them very, like, 7-footers for birdie, and he wasn't close at them. And it was very frustrating watching him, actually.
Yeah. And it was just unfortunate, as you say, that so many finished third. But still, it covered the bets. So good week from your picks point of view. His English wasn't too far off either. He was only a couple of shots off.
Yeah. So I was watching him. I was watching his progress on the back nine via the app, because the coverage on Sky Sports, now they get their feed from CBS, but the coverage is pretty terrible. He was jumping around all over the place and not really showing sort of continuous golf. But he was going well. He actually got into the top 10. He was tied 6th at one point, but double bogeyed 14, and that kind of killed his momentum. He tried to get it back in the last few holes, but it was a top 20 finish. So he gave us a run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And DJ, so following on from his double 80 with Drew this weekend, or last weekend, I should say, with sore back. Concerns about DJ. And obviously, we had concerns about Brooksy last week. Now we've got concerns for DJ as well.
Yeah, DJ's on an awful roll at the moment. He pulled out with a back injury. I don't know how genuine that is, because he's playing this week. He has a history of strange withdrawals. I think the one on the eve of the Masters a couple of years ago was probably the strangest, when he fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, he could come back this week. It's a tournament, the course in Memphis is a course he's won on before, so maybe he'll be back this week. There's a big mystery to how good he'll be playing.
Okay, so that was the 3M. Moving on then to other news. A bit light on news this week. First up is happy birthday to G-Mac. He's 41 tomorrow. He's going to be over to WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational this weekend, so happy birthday. 41 to G-Mac. Do you want to wish him a happy birthday, Nigel?
Happy birthday, G-Mac.
Following on from that then, the prestigious Mullingar Scratch Trophy, which is regarded as one of Ireland's top Scratch Trophies. This is a senior Scratch Cup. Former winners, including Shane Lowry and Rory and so on. It'll be played behind closed doors for the first time in its 58-year history from August. I think it's August 15th and 16th. So, yeah, no spectators there. And it's often one that carries a lot of spectators. I know I played in the Mullingar Junior Scratch Cup last year, and the gentleman that was in my group was from Mullingar, and he was telling us all about where Shane was in each of his drives in comparison to where we were when he won the Scratch Cup. So So quite interesting to see that there'll be no spectators allowed. And this gentleman we played with last year, he was one for going to these and attending these events. So that's interesting to see. Have you played Mullingar, Nigel?
I haven't, unfortunately. It's definitely on the list of courses to play.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye out for the next junior scratch in Mullingar. I'd strongly recommend it. I know Mark Lawler and myself travelled to it last year. It's a little bit over the hour, but it's worth every minute of it. The journey. Yeah, very, very good course and quite a history as well in their former winners and players on the course as well. So, yeah, we might put that in our list for maybe next year.
Yeah, definitely next year anyway, at this rate.
Third place in the news then, and this is the big news. This is the big news. It's the match. So forget about your Phil Mickelsons and your Tiger Woods. That's second division stuff. The big match is scheduled for the 5th of August. That's Wednesday, the 5th of August. It's ticket only, so you have to pay. You know, you have to have tickets in advance. You can't just rock up to the gates at Donabay Golf Club and try and watch this game. You have to have your tickets in advance. Tee off is at 10 to 6 in the evening on Wednesday, the 5th of August. And it's myself and Mark Mackey against Nigel and Martine. So are you set? How are you fixed for this big event?
We're feeling very confident, actually. Very confident. I think it could be a formality.
Could be. What's the course again? Is it yellow, blue, or blue, yellow?
I think it's blue, yellow.
Blue. Oh, that's the way I like it.
Actually, it might be yellow, blue.
Oh, even better.
Blue, yellows.
Yeah. Even better, Nigel. Even better.
I actually can't remember.
Definitely looking forward to it anyway. It'll be nice to get out. And you know, playing with you last night, we do have some things to be worried about because you were striking the ball very well last night, it must be said. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I think there's only going to be a shot in it, maybe two. There may not even be any.
Depends on whether you get any more point ones back.
Well, I'm 6 at the moment. You're 6, right? Mark is 7. What's Martine?
He's 10.
So there's 3. So you might get 3 shots. Ooh.
No, we won't get 3 shots. We won't. We'll get.
Sorry, 50% shot and half.
It's half the difference. Yeah, so it's either 1 or 2 shots we'll get.
Right, we need to work on a few points.
Depends. Now and then. Well, that's it. That's what I thought you were at last night.
No such joy. I shot 17 points in the buffer, safe as houses.
All right.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that match. You know, it'll be a bit of fun. I haven't played with Martine in a while. So, any other match play news for you? Like, did you have any other games since we last spoke?
No, we haven't played. We got a bye in the four ball, but we've the second round four ball match is coming up on Friday evening against Pat McNeil and Dermot Cullen.
So we'll
be given a lot of shots there. So it'll be a tough match.
And they're match players. Those two lads are match players. I can tell you that straight off. So
yeah, I have a feeling they may raise their game for this, but we'll hopefully match it.
Yeah. Good luck there. Yeah, we've just scheduled our quarterfinal match last night. So Frank Moore and Aaron McCann, two nice lads. So looking forward to that. I think late August. I think we've put a few weeks.
Right. Yeah. We played them we played with them in the qualification.
Right.
They only scraped into the match play. They played quite poorly on the day.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised about because I thought they'd be an awesome and they're two good players. It was a kind of tough day and they just never got going.
Yeah. But
I think they'll be tough in the match play.
They're a good combination, like they're pals, they know each other's game, good handicap combination as well for a four ball. So yeah, look, we're looking forward. I think we're the 23rd of August, so we've plenty of time before that match. But we won our game on Sunday. So we were playing Sunday morning in the second round of four ball. Tight game, like there was never more than one in it. And we were always behind. So it was either all square or one behind from the start until the 16th where we went one ahead. And we held on. We won up the last and won it on ninth blue or ninth red, I should say.
I hit one of my best drives ever there. I had an 8-iron into 8 feet.
So that was a good day all round. No other match
stuff.
Obviously, it was disappointing at the weekend for our Junior Cup team and for our Jimmy Broome team, both of which, Nigel, you would have been playing really on Friday, only you were in Donegal. You probably would have been on that team, let's be honest about it. And in Junior Cup, you would probably have been a sub, if not a starter, in Junior Cup team. And unfortunately, yeah, both were beaten. So your chances of playing Interclub are gone, unless you're going to play on Friday in the Senior Cup, Nigel.
I don't see any missed calls from Damien on my phone.
Yeah, you live in hope. You have played Senior Cup, though. You said last night you played Senior Cup before out in Malahide, was it? Or against Malahide?
Against Malahide, yeah. I got a late call. They were stuck for numbers, I think, at that time.
Well, it's a nice one to tick off your list that you've played Senior Cup. Yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, the lads were beaten on Friday. Were beaten well by our neighbours at Corbellis in the Jimmy Broom. We turned one match of the five, which had been a good bit down. It had been two or three down. We turned that in our favour, but the other four, we never really got into those matches, unfortunately. So we were well beaten there. And in the Junior Cup on Sunday, we had a good showing. We were just disappointed. We won one at home and lost two very close games at home. Both went down to last, in fact. And that really, that put the kibosh on it, because away from home against the Island, you'd do very well to get any point. We were looking like we could get a point, the Island. Peter Byrne was called in all square on the 16th, so he may well have got a point in the Island, which would have been a fantastic achievement. John Flood was just unfortunate in his game. But at home, we didn't get enough points. So unfortunately, out we go. The Island have form. They won the Barton Cup last year, the All-Ireland, and they got to the Jimmy Broom All-Ireland final last year. So at this handicap range, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, they have pedigree, recent pedigree. So we were up against it, but, still very close. If those two games at home that went down the last, if we had won those, we were home and dry. Okay, moving on then to the Gavin watch. So Gavin had a disappointing event last weekend, but he's travelling to the English Open this weekend, Marriott Forest of Arden. Are you going to be looking at, in your picks, the English Open? Is that something you have in there?
I do. I only have two kind of selections, main selections at the moment. I may offer more later on today. I haven't kind of...
What are you thinking?
At the moment, I've gone towards the top, not at the very top of the market, but towards the top. I've got Sam Horsfield at 30-1, 1.5 points each way, and Ross Fisher, 40-1, 1.25 points each way. Now, Horsfield's played well last week, although he went in and out at times. I think he shot nine under? I don't know, it was 62 on Saturday.
Yeah.
He's gone low. During the lockdown, apparently he shot 59 on a par 73 course. So he's a guy in serious form.
Yeah.
And I think that price is, too high for the sort of form he's in. Ross Fisher is probably not in the form he'd like to be in. He missed the cut last week, but he was actually easy to make it, and he had an awful run. I don't know what he was thinking. On the back nine on Friday. So I think that 40-1 might be a little juicy and worth a pop. I think he's going to be out to prove something this week. So they're my two main selections in the Hero Open. I as I said, I may have some more each way or more higher price options and tricky dog leg later on. But
great.
That's what I'm going for at the moment. In terms of good Gavin, Gavin's 300-1.
Yeah.
So, 50 cents each way maybe on Gavin, but he had a bad week last week. He started with a double bogey and he settled the ship a bit in the first round. So he was, he wasn't out of it. He was a couple over, I think, but second round was just a bit of a shocker. So,
yeah, and again, make a cut now to get confidence. And
It's all about making a cut really for him. Because, he needs to start getting points for the race to Dubai in order to, have a hope of getting to sort of the 125, 100 range.
Yeah.
To really make his mark. Otherwise, it's going to be a similar situation next year, if not worse. He may be confined to the Challenge Tour next year. So.
Yeah, because those invites will dry up eventually. But look, fingers crossed. Keep an eye on him this weekend. He should be nice and fresh. I know he was down in Donabate on Monday. Obviously, having finished early at the last event, he decided to come back home before traveling back over to the UK again. So hopefully he'll be nice and refreshed for that. So on to the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, which is at TPC Southwind in Memphis. Par 70, 7,200 yards. So in recent weeks, we've been hitting around 7,000 yards for par 72. So this one, I think, is going to be a little bit longer for the players. It was designed by Ron Pritchard in consultation with Hubert Green and Fuzzy Zeller. It opened 32 years ago in 1988, TPC Southwind. This event was previously the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone, where Rory and Shane won. Rory won in 2014, Shane Lowry won in 2015, moved to Memphis in 2019, and last year was won by Brooksy at 16 under. He beat Webb Simpson here last year.
He also beat Rory.
Was Rory in the top three last
year? It was Rory and Brooks in the final group last year, and they were pretty... I don't know if they were in the same score, or they were very close in scores, and Rory had a bad Sunday, and Brooks ran away with it. I think Webb Simpson shot 64 to get second, so, you know, he was coming from further back.
That's right. Rory got his revenge ultimately at the end and at the FedEx, the final, but Brooksy gave him a schooling that day, that's for sure. A lot of questions were being asked about Rory after that last year, which he subsequently answered in the final of the FedEx. But yeah, of interest in this field, Irish interest at least, we have Shane Lowry, Rory, and the birthday boy himself, G-Mac, are all in action this weekend. So that leads me into your picks, Nigel.
Yeah, it's very tight at the top of the market. There's some genuine low price favorites. I think our favorite this week is obviously our new world number one, John Rahm, 9-1 with certain bookmakers. He definitely deserves to be favorite. He shot 62 in one of the rounds here last year. There's no arguing with his credentials. 9-1 is, you know, it's probably about right. If they had put double figures on his price, it wouldn't have lasted long.
Yeah.
So he's a genuine favorite. I think Rory might be second favorite, or JT might be second favorite, followed by Bryson. But I'm going slightly further down, and we're going 3 points each way on Xander Schauffele, the X-Man, 18-1. Now, Xander doesn't have a lot of form at this TPC Southwind at St. Jude. He was tied 27th last year, which is solid enough, but not spectacular. But he tends to love this level of event, this kind of WGC level event where there's no cut. He won a WGC in Shanghai. He's won the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii with no cut. He shot 61 there. And he won the Tour Championship. It was another championship with no cut. He won that, I think, 3 years ago. And he has actually struggled to make cuts a couple of times since the break for the pandemic. I think 2 weeks ago, he shot something like 6 under in order to make the cut. So I think that without the pressure of having that cut there is going to release him. I think he's hitting the ball a long way. I'm not a massive fan of his, but he's had top 20s in the last three tournaments and should have been in the playoff at Colonial. So his form is definitely there. And I think his price is, you know, maybe a little short, but I think he's got genuine credentials and he's going to go very close at the very least. So 3 points each way, 18-1. He's our headline selection. Now for our second selection, I kind of moved around from a few different players. I was going to go with Matt Fitzpatrick, but his price is too low, I think. He was fourth here last week. He did well at the Memorial 2 weeks ago. I think he was third. Shot a great last round of 68 in tough conditions. But I think this week is going to be a very humid, hot conditions. Much more, I think, of a birdie fest. I think there's going to be more birdie chances anyway. Does suit him in the sense that it forces you to hit more kind of medium to long irons, which is a big strength of his, but just 30 to 1 is just too short a price. I looked at Billy Horsell is also a good iron player. He's done well at the St. Jude, whether it was a WGC or in its regular PGA Tour format. If you were to back him, I'd have no problem. But in the end, I went for Matt Wallace at 80 to 1, purely on value grounds. He's a guy who's in very good form at the moment. He did well at the Memorial as well. We're going to go a point each way. He's been in the States since the break for the pandemic. And with each week, he's improved his form. He seems comfortable over there at the moment. And it's the sort of course that I think could play into his, you know, his sort of style of play. So at 80 to 1, I think he's worth a shot. Next couple of selections, I'm going into the three figures quite quickly this week. I've got Brendan Todd and Phil Mickelson, both at 100 to 1, both 3/4 of a point each way. Brendan Todd has got form around here. He's top five finish. He's twice a winner already this season. He played well at, I think it was the, Rocket Mortgage Classic? But he should have won that. He had a bit of a collapse on Sunday. But I think he'll be all the better for that experience. And at 100-1, as a two-time PGA Tour winner this year, I think that's way overvalued. Similarly, Phil Mickelson at 100-1. Before this became a WGC, Phil had four top tens in a row at the St. Jude. I believe he's a former winner. This tournament's happened a week before the PGA, and Phil has won previously at least twice, has won a tournament before a major. I think 100-1 at a course he likes is just, again, it's overpriced. And my last two picks are a little bit, one is not left field, it's quite a regular pick for me, and the other one's a bit left field. Next pick is Christian Bezuidenhout.
Oh,
South African. 125 to 1, a half a point each way. He's a guy who's playing well on both tours, both European Tour and the PGA Tour. He's, in the last couple of years, his progression has been unreal. He's won both in Europe and in South Africa. He's shown himself to be well competent to play in the States. And I think 125 to 1 is, on this sort of course, is great value. And the last pick is Brant Snedeker, good old Brant, who's from Tennessee. And I think he'd be looking to impress the home crowd that isn't actually there. he'll be watching on TV, obviously. So, but he is from the nearby, and 150 to 1 on a course he knows well. And he's got form here from previous St. Jude Classics. I think we'll go a half point each way for him. So there are the six picks. So it's Xander Schauffele is the main pick at 18 to 1, 3 points each way. Second pick, Matt Wallace, 80 to 1, 1 point each way. Third pick, Brendan Todd, 100 to 1, 3/4 of a point each way. Fourth, Phil Mickelson, 100 to 1, 1/4 of a point each way. Fifth, Christian Bezuidenhout, 125 to 1, half point each way. And Brant Snedeker, 150 to 1, half a point each way.
Excellent. I have two questions for you, Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shooting from the hip here. There's two names I saw listed here that I thought, wonder why he didn't put these two in his picks. Now, you do a lot more analysis of this than me, so I'm interested to see why you didn't pick the following players. So Webb Simpson is 20 to 1. So what put you off
Webb
Simpson? He's on great form this year. Obviously, his history here last year with that great final round score. Do you think he's priced too low, or is there a reason you don't fancy him 20 to 1?
I wouldn't put off anyone backing him at 20 to 1. Clearly, he's in top form. A lot of people rate him as, you know, close to being one of the best players in the world. He seems like a great price, you know, if that's the case. I just don't know. There's a history of longer hitters winning this tournament. You look at DJ, you look at Brooks.
Yeah.
Daniel Berger has won it before. He's not short. And I think that's what went against him, essentially. You know, Webb is actually sneaky long. He's actually added a lot of length off the tee. So maybe he, you know, will go well this week. And I imagine, you know, he will pop up on the leaderboard definitely at some point.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel that, you know.
No, no, absolutely.
Maybe. I just, like, there's nothing, there's very, apart, it's really just length off the tee that was the main reason why I didn't go for him.
No,
because he goes well in Bermuda greens. You know, he'll be able to handle the heat. You know, he's from North Carolina himself. He's won in August and on a sweaty course in North Carolina. You know, he's going to be up for this challenge. Possibly another thing that went against him was that, and this probably goes against a couple of the other top players, is that this is tournament may be used as a prep for the PGA next week. And I don't know how committed everyone will be to winning.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Now, that might sound a bit weird, but when you've got no cut, you've got a guaranteed check, you've got the PGA Championship next week, you're trying to find your game and sort of make your game peak for the following week, it just doesn't always follow that the top players are going to do well.
Yeah,
and I think Webb will possibly fall into that category as well.
Okay, that leads me into the second person that I wanted to bring up, and it leads nicely into it because you said, you know, distance might be the reason why you didn't pick Webb. Tony Finau, 30-1. I thought that was quite a high price for Tony Finau, considering he had a good week last week. What do you think? Why was Tony not in your in your crosshairs this week?
Well, Tony has definitely had good results in the last 2 weeks, you know, top tens, but he collapsed essentially at the Memorial 2 weeks ago. And last week, he had a chance. He was a joint leader after three holes of the final round of the two early birdies. And last week was the sort of tournament that he should have won. And really, he did nothing. He didn't collapse around the last week, but just made no putts, didn't get close with his irons. And I don't know. There's like Tony, I don't know if it's the Puerto Rican Open curse or whatever it is. He's only won once. And at times, he just goes along on an even keel and doesn't grasp tournaments by the scruff of the throat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not a killer in terms of closing tournaments. So 30-1 is, in my opinion, is actually short.
Short.
Okay. I think he should be 40-45-1. So given the fact that he's only won once, he's actually lost to Xander Schauffele. When Xander won his WGC, he beat Tony. I think it might have been in the playoff or down the stretch. But anyway, he edged out Tony. It shows that Xander has that killer instinct at this level. And Tony just goes off the boil. Or he doesn't go missing, but he just doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't fire.
Doesn't do enough. Does, you know, par golf is not going to win when you need a crunch time. It's happened as well at the Phoenix Open against Webb Simpson. He had a two-shot lead with two holes to go. Webb Simpson birdies the last two. Tony does, you know, plays par golf and then loses in the playoff.
Yeah.
You know, that was his tournament to win and he didn't win it. So 30-1. I think the reason he's 30-1 with the bookies is the each way money, because he finishes in the top 10 a lot.
But
and the bookies are afraid of the each way,
yeah,
but not absolutely. Of the win.
Yeah, and last week, you know, yourself or myself could have got an each way there. It was a very weak field. So if Tony Finau isn't going to finish top 10 last week, he's never going to finish top 10. So, yeah, that's a fair point. Okay, so Brad's picks this week, first time, is definitely only going each way on Tony Finau, that's for sure. But I fancy Webb Simpson, put a couple of quid on that, if you, Nigel supports it as well, to a degree. Right, so, and they'll all be up on trickydogleg.com. Later on today. Plus a few other additional picks from the UK. Gavin Watch. And was there another, you were going to give us another few picks across in the Barracuda. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the alternative opposite field event in the PGA Tour, the Barracuda, from place near Lake Tahoe. It's in a place called Truckee, and just over the border in California. It's a very, quite a short mountain course. It looks very picturesque, but it's a short course, and they're playing at altitude, so length is definitely not a factor this week. They're playing a system of modified Stableford. It's not like the Stableford we play week in, week out. I think it's something like 5 points for an eagle, 2 points for a birdie, and I think get minus one for a bogey. So it kind of rewards attacking golf. The history of this tournament is that it generally goes to either a kind of a journeyman who's, you know, been around the block a while, or it goes to a new up-and-coming star. I'm going to tend to favor the slight journeyman. I've actually got eight names down for this.
Right.
I'll just give the names rather than what the odds are. They're all kind of similar. I wouldn't say similar odds, but similar kind of stakes. My first selection is Troy Merritt, who's played very well since we came back from the pandemic. He's gone well in this event before, and he kind of plays. This is the sort of level that he can win at fairly easy. He's quite an attacking player. Charlie Hoffman is my second selection. He's kind of known for being a first-round leader and can go low at certain points. He had a top 10 at the Workday Open 3 weeks ago, so he's coming back to a bit of form. I think Nick Watney will go well. Seamus Power is one of our Irishmen who had a top 10, I think, at the Rocket Mortgage. And I think he's worth another bet at 125-1. Zach Blair is an up-and-coming guy from the Corn Ferry Tour. And the last three I've gone for are three veterans. I've gone for Alex Sheka, Robert Garrigus, and Bo Van Pelt at very big prices. So 50 cents each way or something, or a euro each way on those boys.
Super.
But again, it's a sort of tournament that anyone could win. It'll be a birdie fest. It'll be attack. It'll be whoever puts well. Or who scores. I think it's going to be bogeys won't hurt you too much. You just have to collect birdies and get as many eagles as possible. It might be more entertaining than the WGC. But
yeah, it's definitely a nice format. I mean, it's like the when they moved soccer to 3 points for the win as opposed to two, it created that emphasis towards attacking. And I think from the golf perspective, it's 3 points for a birdie. So if you have a birdie putt, you're going to go for it at the risk of losing a point. You're going to go for it. You know, if you bogey, you just lose a point. So you won't have many lads leaving it short on birdie putts, that's for sure.
They've had a real mix of winners here. Like last year, Colin Morikawa got his maiden victory here. But then previously, Greg Chalmers has won. And even Gary Woodland won this about maybe 10 years ago. So it's a real mixed bag of winners. There's no kind of readily identifiable profile of a winner here, so you know, get a good each way and enjoy it.
Yeah, very good. What are we going to do next week, Nigel? Are we going to do an on the course, or is that going to be too difficult in a very serious, tense, televised event? Is it going to be hard to mic ourselves?
I think next week we could do some banter beforehand and afterwards, but not during.
Yeah. I'll be live tweeting anyway. So I'll put it that way. I'll be live tweeting for anyone who's interested as to whether I'm up or down in the match. So if anyone wants to follow Brad Golf TV on Twitter, you'll be able to get a live stream of the match, whether who's up, who's down. Okay. Well, are you playing this weekend? Of course you are.
Well, Friday evening, Saturday, and Monday.
You're taking Sunday off. So Monday we've got our Scratch Cup in Donabate. That's usually the big money earner for the club is the Scratch Cups. They host the junior, intermediate, and minor Scratch Cups on the bank holiday Monday, the August bank holiday on Monday every year. And it's not one that we've missed anyway, Nigel, in the last couple of years. It's one that we would always put our names down for.
Yeah.
You had a close run in with this a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was level par with five holes to go, sitting on the tee on the caravan hole, and I blew it. Went bogey, bogey, and then on seven blue, I had a quadruple. Oh. Lucky to find the ball with the tee shot and try to hack it out, went nowhere, then hacked it out again, just about got out and didn't get up and down. It was just a mare.
And who won it?
Lost by two. Cara McGurl, former late of the Donabay Parish.
Right. Cara McGurl won it. Don't know. He lost by two.
Not a member anymore anyway.
Yeah. Monday it's on. What time you're playing with the boys? Are you're bringing a few guests on, is that right?
Bringing the father-in-law and the brother-in-law.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Well, you enjoy it and play well.
They'll be playing the intermediate and the minor, so.
Yeah, for anyone who's interested, it's up on GolfNet.
It's a great little scratch cup. There are not that many scratch cups this summer because of the pandemic. A lot of clubs are not doing as many of these because it takes up the course for the whole day. But Donabay have stayed true to their previous calendar. And I played this before I joined Donabay, and it's always a good day.
Yeah, and the greens are good at the moment. The course is in good condition. We've got Car Golf. They're there over a year at this stage. They're making big changes. So the place is playing well. So that's this weekend, bank holiday weekend. Hope everyone has a great bank holiday weekend. Thanks a million, Nigel, for joining us again. Pleasure with your company, as always.
Thank you, Dermot.
And if I don't see you over the weekend, we'll see you for the big match next week. All right?
Keep it on a short grass.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Take care, Nigel. We'll talk to you soon. So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.